You're listening to WPVM LP in Asheville, North Carolina. 103.7 on your dial and streaming globally at WPVMFM.org.
Here's your Radio Asheville weather report. Increasing clouds across the area as we wrap up the weekend. High temperatures near 80, lows around 55. Clouds and sun for Monday, the high near 80. Partly cloudy for Monday night, we'll see a low around 53. On Tuesday, mostly sunny, the high going up to 86, 56 Tuesday night, and by Wednesday, we're near 90. I'm Johnny Cottle on Radio Asheville, 103.7.
When systems fail, where do you turn for truth and resilience? Welcome to the Resilience Realm with host Dawn Westmoreland, Air Force veteran, author, and resilience advocate. Each week, Dawn brings powerful voices, attorneys, mental health experts, veterans, and leaders sharing courage, boundaries, and real-world resilience strategies. Broadcast on the Pacifica Network and WPVM-FM and featured on over 100 radio, TV, and podcast platforms nationwide. This isn't just a show. It's a movement for courage, ethics, and justice. Tune in Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern or listen anytime. Time online. Visit DawnMarieWestmoreland.com.
And welcome back. If it's your first time, how exciting to have you here. You know what? There's been a lot of stress out there. This is April 2026 as I record this. And, you know, I walked into my mother's nursing home. My mother is 85 years old. And I see these tired faces. Sometimes they're the daily faces that I also see because I see my mom nearly every day. Now, one thing good about my mom being in a nursing home, probably a couple things, is she's getting the care that she needs. I promised her many, many years ago I would not put her in a nursing home only unless it came to be. And without violating her privacy, it's come to be. My mom cannot take care of herself, and she does have advanced dementia. And that changes you. That changes your mother, changes your loved one when they have dementia. They go from being independent and strong and confident to all of a sudden, they're like your kid. You know, when I walk in and see my mom, I never know what I'm going to get. For example, some days I walk in and she's asleep and she nothing, no amount of prodding or anything is going to wake her up. Of course, we want my mom to sleep and get the rest and the healing that she needs. And then there's other times where I take her to bingo and I'm doing 95% of the moves for her. But that's just where we're at. So I've noticed a lot of people getting stressed out in my community, in my connection, in my world. And one thing I know for sure is we live in a time of division. We live in a time where politics are quite interesting. I mean, I don't mean interesting in a good way. I mean, quite a trip. Very upsetting to many of us. So how do we get through it? Okay, let me start you out with my day. I've talked about this in other shows, but I'm going to also share some deep insights I've never, ever shared with anybody before. Okay, first of all, you know, I grew up Catholic, and I thought that was the only way until I got older and I realized I had a choice, and I'm not putting the Catholic faith down. What I'm doing is stating that was my past, that was my infrastructure growing, and I have a lot of respect for all religions that are good out there. But I'm more of a spiritual person. So what I've done is I've added a lot of spiritual practices into my daily life. And I'm going to walk you through them. And some of them are common sense. And some of them are like, wow, I never thought of that. Or I've never done that. But I'm just that kind of person. So let me back you up a little bit. I'm retired from the Air Force. And I retired actually on Valentine's Day 21 years ago. So I spent a little over 20 years in the Air Force. So very logistical minded. Yes, I'm a people person. And I would call myself an ambivert at best. And if you've never heard that term, it means you're kind of like in the middle. You're not an introvert. You're not an outgoing extrovert. You're right there in the middle. And I think that's a good place to be for me. So when I get up in the morning, oh my God, I want to grab my phone and like everybody else, I think it's FOMO, fear of missing out. I want to go to social media. I want to see, you know, who's engaging with me. I want to see, you know, how's everyone else doing? And I've always been somebody who wants win-wins. You know, I'm not going to be out there comparing myself like, oh, somebody got a great speaking opportunity. And I'm just now beginning with the public speaking on resilience. I'm building that career. I've had to put it on hold. I've been on a holding pattern doing just little things toward it, toward that career, because of my mom. I'm a caregiver for my mom. And you may say, well, hey, she's in a nursing home. She's being cared for. Folks, let me tell you, when you put your loved one in a nursing home, you don't just put them in there and assume that everything's good to go. Now, she's in a fantastic nursing home. If I was to grade them, I'd give them about a 97%, 98% out of 100. And if you're wondering, why didn't they get 100? Well, there's no place that is perfect. And there's times I've had to go in and advocate to remind people that there's a doctor's order for certain procedures that mom has to go through because, you know, they get busy, they get short staffed. And with me being HR, you know, 33 years, I still do HR consulting on the side. You know, immediately I know when they're shorthanded. I know because I see them doing shortcuts. Are they doing it on purpose? I don't think so. But we do have a crisis of, you know, shortages in nursing home and medical out there. Boy, that's a great opportunity if you feel called to go into the medical career field. Because my mom's been in the nursing home. Well, she's been in the facility as rehab and then went into the nursing home in the same building since last September. That's a lot of time, a lot of windshield time going back and forth and seeing my mom. But anyway, I start my morning out with, I wake up, I try to hide my phone or keep it in a separate room because I am just as human as anybody else, probably just as human as you, maybe more human, that I want to know what's going on social world, you know, social media world, what's going on. But then when I get into that, I'm sure you know this, and maybe you do it too. We start scrolling, oh, so-and-so's doing this. Oh, this is idea. And then my ADHD, my attention deficit disorder kicks in, and it's like, oh, crap, I was only going to look at Facebook for 5 minutes, and holy cow, now I've been on it for an hour, you know, how crazy. So that's one thing is I invest in my time, and I have to remind myself, I have sticky notes, I have symbols, I have pictures, I have just little things that I put in my observation in my home that remind me every day to do certain things. And this is to stay strong, balanced, centered, resilient, okay? Because I'm telling you, I'm carrying a lot of weight, and maybe you are too. No matter what you're carrying, whether you're carrying more than what you think other people are carrying, is really how do we handle it all? And that's really what this show is all about, is building your resiliency muscles, your courage, because sometimes it takes courage to be more resilient. And I'll explain that later. And a little dose of healing and a little dose of ethics, because I'm all about, you know, being honest, authentic, and transparent. So I turn YouTube on. Immediately, I go to the solfeggio music and check it out. Solfeggio, if you never heard it, I'll spell it. S is in Sam, O-L-F-E-G-G-I-O, music. Look it up. So solfeggio music, there's all kind of hertz levels, and it's very good for, it's not woohoo music at all. I mean, scientific, to help improve the mind, you know, well-being, to feel more calm, peaceful, to focus. Now, I used to say, oh, that's a bunch of BS. I can just force myself to do it because in the Air Force, you just, you know, I had that ego. Oh, my God, ego from hell, where, you know, I could do anything. I could do anything at all. And I have all this boundless energy. Not true. And another thing, let me talk about energy. I am not very strong in the day between about 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock. That is my weakest hour. So I always plan to do activities outside that time frame. I've never, ever in 60 plus years had a lot of energy during that time frame. In fact, my creative time is more in the evening, strange enough, and it works for me because I work from home. Okay, so do the solfeggio music. Now, I'm also a consulting hypnotist, so I know how important it is, the power of words. Because if I sit there and I tell myself, oh my God, you know, this is going to be a rotten day because I look outside and it's too cold, too hot, too sunny, too rainy, too stormy, too whatever. I got to catch myself because I was trained back in 2014 as a coach. We reframe thoughts and it's real easy because, again, I'm going to bring that human word up. We're human. You know, we see things, we're conditioned, we're like, ah, crap, I got to deal with the rush hour. I mean, I remember living in Washington, D.C., 6 miles away, and sometimes it'd take an hour and a half to get to work or get home. Crazy. Talk about patience. Talk about a lot of radio time, too. Thank you for the radio, right? So I reframe myself. I catch myself all the time. Because you can't stop the thoughts from coming in your head, but you catch yourself when you get those negative thoughts. Oh, I can't do today. I can't handle this project. I can't handle this person. You know, I just want to go back to bed. And truthfully, some days I do. I'm not going to even joke about it. Some days I have so much overwhelming responsibility. I just want to go back to sleep and let it all go away, you know, to dreamland and such. So it's really important to listen to some meditation. And then I do some deep breathing. Deep breathing, and everybody does it different. And you don't have to do it the way I suggested. I'm just giving you some suggestions. One of the best ways that one of my mentors has taught me, Martha, is the 6-5. Okay. So you breathe in. I'm sorry, 5-6. I said that backwards. I do transpose numbers, and that's a fact. I've done that all my life. So what you start to do is you breathe in, breathe through your nose if you can for 5 seconds. Hold it for a little bit. You don't have to hold it long. Then release it. And the release would be 6 seconds long. And if you're like, well, I'm not going to count, or how would I know? Well, here, just make it longer than your intake. And what you're doing is you're resetting your nervous system. When you reset your nervous system, then you become more grounded, more focused. You can sit down and do the task at hand. Now, something I personally need to work on is getting out there and moving more like walking. But you know what, folks? I'm 62 now, finally. And what an honor. How grateful I am I made it to 62. You know, like a lot of people that get older, you know, and I don't want to put the word out as a negative thing, but, you know, we deal with arthritis, and I started getting arthritis in my legs and my knees, and very common in my family. So I went ahead to Greenville, South Carolina, Hawkins Stedman Clinic, and they do what's called PRP, plasma-rich protein, I think. I may be off a word, or plasma-rich PRP treatment. It's where they pull the blood out of you, so many units of blood, and then they do the centrifuge, and they take the plasma, and they actually, this is going to sound painful, but they do numb you. They inject your own plasma back into your body, into the joints. And what that does is, strange enough, it the arthritis, the degeneration, you know, the cartilage wearing down, if it's not too advanced, too far where it's bone on bone, it often, crazy enough, and it's a good crazy, will help to repair or improve some, or at least leave it where you're at right there instead of getting worse. So I had that 3 weeks ago, so I have not been moving a lot. That's my excuse. I can't use it for too much longer. I have to give it time. It's not that you have to stay in bed or you can't move. It was such a very sore knee when I had the procedure that I can still feel it, nowhere near as much painful. I can tell it's getting better. And that's really, really cool. So that's another thing, is taking care of your body. A lot of times we wait till things get too far advanced. And then next thing I know, boom, you know, I'm hearing my 80-year-old aunt having both her knees replaced. And that's probably pretty common, you know, to make it that far, 80 years old, a lot of travel, a lot of time on your feet walking. She traveled a lot over the years, all the continents, all seven. And she had to have it. And I thought about, wow, you know, I mean, one day I might need knee replacement. And that's when I started doing my own research. And that's when I decided I wanted to do the PRP. It might not be a good fit for everybody. It's not covered by insurance. The consultation, the x-rays, the CAT scan, you know, to see the joints and the damage of your joints. Yeah, that's covered. But, you know, I use the Veteran Affairs and they've been really good for me. And I don't pay to go to the VA only because of the amount of disabilities I have. When you go to the VA, if you are what they call concurrent receipt, and whoever came up with that name, I have no idea. It's crazy. It's where you're 50% disabled or more, you get free medical for life. And that means for life, whether it's at the VA or you get outsourced. So you'd have to have 50% or more to get total free medical care at the VA. And some people have less, you know, percentages of 50%, and they still get care, but they may have a, you know, small pay. So that's another thing is, you know, research stuff. How can you take care of yourself? I have to take care of myself. Okay. Well, it's a choice. I don't have to, but I choose to. Let me rephrase that. I choose to take care of myself because, one, I am single by myself, divorced, very good friends with my former spouse. The funny thing is we make better friends than husband and wife, and that's a beautiful thing, too. So, yeah, I have to take care of myself because it's just me. I have to rely on myself. I have 5 Cairn Terriers that rely on me to feed them every single day. And I have a mom that is totally 100% medically needy. That's not my term. That's a medical term. And I'm there every single day checking on her, advocating, seeing how she's doing, how she's responding to different procedures, different care. Because, you know, there's no doctor, there's no nurse that can sit there for an hour, even 15 minutes with a patient. That's rare. I mean, maybe they can, but that's got to be rare. Because I know where my mother is, and she's 20 minutes from me in Asheville. You don't see the nurses or the CNAs sitting down or the medical staff. They're hopping because they're so busy. So the people don't get a lot of time with them. So every day when I go and see my mom, let me talk about that. I would be lying to tell you it's easy to see my mom. I love her, want to see her, want to be with her to the very end. It's hard. It's hard being with somebody that you love. It's hard watching them decline. It's hard listening to them talk about gibberish things that make absolutely no sense. And it's hard to watch them go into fear. I am really blessed in the fact that my mom knows me. My mom still knows her 4 children. She knows me and still recognizes me every day. What a gift. Because if I ever had to go and see her and she didn't recognize me, I know people have been through that, and that is heartbreaking. So what I do, because I get a lot of angst in me, folks, I do. I get a lot of uncomfortable angst in me because she's in the furthest room in the nursing home. So I'm going to be parking, you know, to drive my truck, my 20 minutes. I park, I walk in the front entrance, beautiful sunroom, say hi. You never can just walk in and go see your mom. I must pass 20 people, okay? And it's not that I don't want to see the people, but when you're exhausted, which I have been many times walking in there, I just want to like put a sheet over me. You can't see me, walk straight in, you know, go hang out with my mom for a little bit. And then get out. But no, you know, I put on a brave smile, even if I don't feel like it. I sit in my truck for a minute or two, and I put myself in that mood. You know, maybe you've watched the TEDx talk where I think her first name is Amy on TEDx. She puts her hands on her hips and, you know, gets in a power pose for confidence. I kind of do things like that in my truck. I'm like, okay, you can do this, Dawn. You can do this. And you're probably wondering, why do I have to psych myself up? Well, every day I go in there, my mom's declining. And that's just normal, right? We're all declining, I guess, you know, as we get closer to that last day of breath, that last day on this earth. But by the time I get to her, it's taken a minute just to get down the hallway, and then I you don't get to just walk through and just say, hey to everybody, hey. You know, you have lonely residents there that may not have loved ones that can see them for whatever reason. You know, sometimes it's because somebody lives on the other side of the state. They work. Maybe they're older. Maybe they can't get over there. So before I even get to my mother's room, her facility room, sometimes it can take me 5-10 minutes because everybody wants to stop you. They want to tell you about their day, about their miserable pain or whatever. And I always validate each and every one of these folks. The facts are I've come to fall in love with a lot of the folks. I've always had an affinity for older folks. And they're very special. I mean, right now, my mom has just a temporary roommate who will leave and go back to another facility. She was just there for rehab, but they put her as a roommate. And you never know. You may have a good roommate. We've had a couple, probably three really great roommates. And then we've had a couple that, they were not very happy people, and they tried to, make everybody unhappy around them. So how do you deal with all that? I mean, how do you deal with people aggravating you? Well, we're going to talk about that. Something I really haven't talked about either. I had to get off a couple boards because of the behavior of the people. It's not that they're bad people. They're wonderful people. But they were engaging in politics and things outside the board that could reflect negatively on everybody and make us all a target. So that's my boundary. We're going to talk about boundaries. I put up boundaries. Recently, some of my siblings, not all of them, I'm going to call them my brothers, because they were my brothers, you know, send me some hateful texts just to upset me, because I'm in charge of the will. And, you know, eventually that'll start. And they like to feel like they're important and in control. And I got called like the worst sister on this earth because I have my mom in Asheville and, not back in North Florida where everybody can see her. But hey, let's go back a little bit. Of course, y'all weren't there. I was there. You know, I've been caregiving, probably about 9 years for my mom, going on 9 years. Not every single day. Started out, you know, a little bit of a time, and it built up, and now it's full time. You know, when I say full time, I'm back and forth. Spend half a day at the nursing home often. You know, I had to, basically tell my brother, knock it off. I'm not going to put up with it. And if you don't knock it off, you know, I'm going to take some legal action against you, you know, injunction or whatever I have to. And that sounds extreme, but you know what? This is shocking, but I'm coming to find out that there are a lot of people out there that are not getting along with their families. They're not getting along with their brothers, their sisters, their moms, their dads. I mean, I don't know why our families are so dysfunctional. But I do believe that we have to have boundaries. You know, if you cannot be respectful to me, then guess what? I'm going to block you off my Facebook, my LinkedIn, I'm going to block you off the phone, and I'm not going to give you updates, you know, on things that I don't have to give you updates on. So I think boundaries are really, really, really important, because, you know, I've always heard that you get treated the way, you know, you act. And I think that there is some truth, a lot of truth to that. I really do believe that people are treated respectfully when they carry themselves with respect. But then again, what if there's that person out there that's really insecure and they feel threatened by you or jealous of you? How do you deal with those kind of people? Well, they could be your greatest teachers. And I've talked about that in other radio shows. And I'll go into that further, too. You can learn a lot from narcissistic people. You can learn a lot from psychopath people. And sometimes we think psychopath is the killer. Psychopath, you know, I'm learning from a lot of people who are counselors. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are a horrible person. Psychopathic behavior, for example, I was told, was having no remorse. You know, I have a couple family members like that, that will act really badly with no remorse at all, because they're used to me forgiving them. So I've given them space. I've given them all space until they shaped up, you know, cleaned up their act. And when they acted up bad again, I gave them a lot more space. And that's my boundaries, and that's my life. And if they don't like it, it's just too bad. That's just the way it is. So I said I was going to talk about spirituality. One thing I do regularly, every 3 or 4 weeks, I do get what's called Reiki healing. And I get that with my friend Martha. And I do have a lot of energy healing. If you've never heard of it, you can research it yourself. We're all energy. It's a scientific thing. It's not a woo-hoo thing. It's been around for who knows how long, millions and millions a year. We're all energy. So when I see Martha, a lot of times I have my auras, you know, my body, you know, cleanse energetically, and I can feel it because I'm just that sensitive. Well, I'm here to say we're not alone. We're not alone. This is the second time this has happened. Ironically, I didn't have my phone camera with me again, and maybe that's why it happened. But as I'm laying on the table, on the Reiki table or massage table, you know, we're done. I'm looking up at the roof, and she has a window where you can, you know, roof window, whatever you want to call it. And I had one of those years ago. They're so beautiful to look out at this clouds and sky and beautiful natural light. I'm looking up, this is the second time, in this big window above me. It looks like somebody took a chalk and they drew a white feather. This is the second time this has happened to me. Okay. So oftentimes we're going so very fast that we don't notice that. I call it God, the angels, the archangels, the spirit guides. I call it my spiritual team. They're letting me know, hello, Dawn, you are not alone. Because 30 seconds later, that feather was gone. And the first time I saw it, which was, I don't know, maybe a couple of months ago or less, it only lasted a little bit and it just went, okay? But what if we slowed down instead of buying into all this conditioning? We got to go, 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 go. We got to look popular. We got to dress this way. We have to, you know, feel this way. We have to watch this. We got to do this. We got to buy this. No. Why can't we just be ourselves? Appreciate who we are, the gifts we bring to the world. Slow down just a little bit. Now, if you knew anything about me, the last words I would ever say in 100 million years is to slow down. But slowing down has made me a better person. It's made me more resilient. I could have jumped right off that Reiki table, that massage table, and never saw that feather. Something made me stay there on the table, open my eyes, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a feather. There's a feather. It looks, you know, big feather covering the whole window, folks. The only thing I could do is beat myself up for not having a camera, but maybe it would have disappeared before I could have took it. But I told Martha, get over here. You got to see it. This is twice she saw it, so I have a witness. Slow down, folks. When I say slow down, I don't mean you have to be lazy. Take time to smell the roses. Take time to play in your garden. Take time to do things that bring you alive, to bake, to go walking, to go for a run, to go skating. Slow down and enjoy life, because that's what keeps us balanced. I just went with my friend Ronald Rand. He's an actor and a good friend of mine. I call him my brother of the arts. He and I just went to Biltmore for a couple hours, and we walked around taking all kind of pictures of the tulips, and all, the azaleas are all in, they're almost a little bit past some of their prime. They're just stunning, gorgeous. So we were going, walking around, and we were getting one, vitamin D, which is important because that affects our mood too. And you can research it. If you're feeling a little down or out, get out there, get a little sun on you. You know, you don't have to get much. I've read 20 minutes a day is enough. Even less would be better. And then breathe in that beautiful fresh air. There's something about nature. There's all kinds of studies that nature can help to calm us down. I've been angst lately. I don't know if it's Mercury retrograde or what. Somebody said it is. I don't know if it is or not. But it's just, the energy's been heavy, everyone. We're watching what's going on in the world, you know, a war. I mean, who would ever want a war in this world? I mean, why can't we all get along? There's enough money. There's enough resources for everybody. Why can't we all play together civilly? That always blows my mind. I don't know what it does to your mind, but it blows my mind. Well, I'm wrapping up also too. I'm drinking water. Be sure to stay hydrated as we get into the warmer months. For some of us, some of people are, you know, getting into the cooler months. Stay hydrated. What you put in your mind, in your mouth, in your heart.